I'd like to look at a few verses in the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter this morning. Luke 15, we'll start at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. This is what we call the prodigal son. And I think many of us can relate to that. We make our own choices in life and make our own decisions. And he probably as a young man just wanted to enjoy life. And he was led into riotous living, the scripture said, having a good time in the flesh, you might say. The life of sin always has consequences. There comes a time when his money was spent in a famine. And we thank the Lord today for the famines that come in life to help us to recognize our need and help us to know that we have a need in our life of God. And sometimes it's affliction. Sometimes it's physical ailments that God uses to get our attention. Sometimes it's financial crisis. There are different ways that God uses to help us as people to recognize that we need something that we don't have. My margin here, where it says he began to be in want, out of my margin it says moral bankruptcy. This young man was morally bankrupt. By riotous living, he had things that he was doing, participating in his life that he knew that his father would not approve of, that his heavenly father, he knew deep down inside his heart, were wrong. He came to that knowledge and that recognition, and perhaps somehow, somewhere along the line, something had been planted in his heart and mind, a conscience that was buried over, that God began to use and God began to speak to. And I'm thankful today the Lord knows how to bring us to the end of ourselves. And I know sometimes that can be a dark place, a dark picture. But it's not in God. He wants it to be a dawn of something new. He wants it to be the beginning of something more blessed in our life that we haven't had. And I believe the Lord does endeavor to bring us to the end of ourselves, where my way hasn't worked. My way hasn't produced happiness. My way hasn't brought satisfaction and fulfillment and contentment. What a blessed place it is to recognize, to be in want, and to recognize our need of our Heavenly Father. And Jesus is the one that gave this story, and it gives. You know, the son, he said, "I'll arise and go back." He was in great, great need, and yet there were people that he knew of that loved him, that cared for him, and he said, "I'll go back home." That was a hard, I'm sure it was a hard decision to make. It might have been easier if he'd been wealthy and rich and things had turned out well for him. It probably would have been easier for him to maybe face his father. But he made that choice and that decision. That's a good decision for us to make in life, is to go back to our Father and to put away the things that we have participated in that were wrong and evil, that were sinful, that we turn from those and make our steps back to God. We notice here the son, he just wanted to be as a hired servant. He recognized his failure. He recognized his need, and he just wanted to be like a servant. He didn't expect the treatment that he got. But the father, in verse 20, it says he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, the father knows where we're at in life. He knows where we've been. He knows the path that we've taken. And he looks with compassion towards those. He desires reconciliation. And you read this all through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation that God is always desiring reconciliation. He's always desiring to be at peace with people, to be in agreement, and to be in unison and one in unity with Him. And this father saw this son a long way off. And I remember hearing years ago a statement that said every step that we take towards God, that He's taken a step towards us. And I believe that this morning because there's a verse, a scripture that says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Every step, every choice, every decision that we make to draw closer to God, to step towards Him and away from our sin, away from our selfishness, away from the things that would bind us and separate us from God. He sees that. And He is taking a step towards us for every decision. But it's very important for us to make those decisions, to make those choices in life where we come to Him and recognize that I have sinned and I've failed. And we seek God's forgiveness. We ask Him for His forgiveness in our life. I've had to do that in my life. I've had to do it many times in life. I've had to ask the Lord for forgiveness, for speaking too quickly, for saying things that I shouldn't have said, for coming short. But the Lord is always there with open arms to forgive us and to help us. And the Father said He had compassion and He ran. He ran towards His Son. And that's God's heart and mind towards people today that turn to Him, that begin to make steps towards Him. And the Father said to His servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on Him and put a ring on His hand and shoes on His feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. There was great rejoicing when the prodigal returned to the father's house. And I noticed earlier in this chapter, in verse 4, Jesus said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goeth after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. This is the desire of our Heavenly Father. It's the desire of heaven when we turn away from ourselves and we turn to God and we recognize that we have a need. I'm thankful when I was 18 years old, living here in Enid over across the street from the armory, I had a dream one night that I was not ready to meet God. In my dream, the clouds were rolling real fast, and I knew the end of time had come. I knew that God was coming back. And in my dream, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to meet Him. And I fell to my knees. In my dream, I fell to my knees and began to cry out to God for mercy. But in the back of my mind, I knew I'd waited too long. I knew He was on His way back. I'd waited too long. I felt hopeless. I felt that I'd waited too long. When I awoke from my dream, it took me a while to realize it was a dream. I went over to the window and pulled back the curtain. It began to dawn on me that I'd had a dream, that I still had opportunity to pray. And that's what I did. Didn't know how to pray. Didn't know what all to say. But I began to ask God for forgiveness. I began to ask Him for help. And the light of hope began to shine in my heart. And I began to see things that I hadn't seen before. That was the Lord's, that was my famine, that was my being in want. And I'm thankful. I was just getting ready to move from home. I didn't have much substance, but I would have wasted it with riotous living. But the Lord made a change. I took my Bible with me. My grandma saw a change. She's the one that bought me my Bible. Began to attend services. Began to lead a life of prayer and devotion to God. The Lord has so many different ways to speak to us. He knew what I needed, when I needed it. I remember other times Him speaking to me as a young man. I didn't always recognize it being God, but after I got saved, I realized it was the Lord speaking to me, trying to turn my heart. And I remember different times refusing it and turning it down. Not now. I always had the intention. Oh, I thought someday I'll do better. Someday I want to go to church and start doing what's right. I had a lot of different intentions that I didn't follow through with. But I'm thankful that the Lord reaches out to us as people in our lives, to the saved, to the unsaved. And He rejoices and He sees every effort, every step. And that's what we want to do. We want to put forth effort. We want to put steps towards Him. We want to move towards Him. We don't want to just continue life without the Lord being in there in our lives. In John, the third chapter, one of the probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God came, sent His Son to reconcile us to Him, to give us a hope of eternal life. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." Sometimes our heart is bent on doing evil, bent on doing wrong. That seems to be our DNA in the human family. But I'm thankful this morning that when we turn to the Lord with all of our heart, that He can change that heart. He can take out the hardness. He can take out the rebellion and give us a soft heart, a heart to want to love God and to want to love our fellow man. God is love. When He comes into our hearts, He brings that love with Him. And we're given a new heart and a new life. This morning, I wish that everyone could, in the world, get a hold of the hope that God has so lavishly given to mankind. A hope of a future. A hope of being able to make heaven our home. A hope of a changed life. God has made all that possible because Jesus died on the cross for us. He took our place, and all we have to do is ask Him to come into our heart and our life. I think about the thief on the cross that was dying with Jesus. In his last hours, he just acknowledged he had done wrong, acknowledged he was dying because of what he had done. But there was a prayer in those words, "Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." I'm thankful today the Lord has hope for us. However dark our life may be, we sang a song about being in the valley. However dark things can get in life, I'm thankful that there's still hope in God. I read a scripture the other day, I think it was David. David was in some circumstances, and it says, he said, "They say unto my soul, there's no hope for him in God." There's no hope for him in God. But we know that David turned his heart to the Lord and he found hope when it looked like everything was against him. And sometimes life looks that way. Sometimes life looks like everything is turned. But I'm thankful for the hope this morning. That's what the gospel means. It means good news. It means hope. I'm thankful today for the hope that God can give us and put into our hearts and into our lives. He's a wonderful creator. He made a beautiful world for us to live in, to dwell in. I know sin has made this world dark and ugly in many respects, but that wasn't His original design. And I'm thankful today that He has made provision for us to have hope in Him. It's not within ourselves. It's not with turning over a new leaf or what I can do. It's not my grit. It's not my willpower. But it's believing in Jesus, that He has forgiven me of my sins and my transgressions. It's a faith in Him that brings new life. And we want to believe in Him this morning. We want to make steps towards Him. And I believe when we do, He meets us. And I thank Him for it. He says, "Which one of you having 100 sheep, when he loses one, he goes and searches for it?" That's the heart of God today. He goes seeking for the one that's in trouble, for the one that's in difficulty, for the one that has need. The Lord is there today. We want to believe in Him this morning and put our faith in Him. Pray for me. Yeah.